Father, we thank you for your goodness towards us tonight, Lord. We thank you that we can boldly enter your presence, God, and that you have made a new and living way for us through your Son. And this evening, Lord, we take a hold of that grace, Lord, and we thank you that we don't have to be afraid, Lord, and that as we take a hold of that, Lord, your grace and your provision, Lord, that tonight, that as we sit under your word, we can come with an expectation, Lord, that in your presence, that we are transformed, Lord, we are changed, we are renewed, we are shaped and molded to be more like Christ, Lord. That's our desire tonight, Father, is that your will and your purpose and your kingdom be shaped in and through us, Lord, be established in and through us, God, in the name of Jesus. So we open our hearts, Lord, and we thank you that our hearts can be good ground and soft to receive and to hear from you tonight, God, and to receive your impartation of life, God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. We are continuing on, as you know, going through our core values. We've started this encounter series. As if you've heard, you know, instead of having small groups on the Wednesdays, we come together into different congregations, and we are looking at what is God telling us to do, what is He saying, looking at our core values of what are we about as a family. And it's really been an exciting time, and we're really enjoying what God is doing. And it's you know, it's at times like these when the Lord speaks and you realize, okay, but this, we need to, if we want to take what God is saying seriously, we need to just kind of camp out a bit and stop everything and really pay attention and make sure we get what God is saying. As in the past, we've not done that more, you know. I think personally, sometimes we also neglect. We kind of hear and then we just carry on, not really knowing what's up. And so that's what it's about. And, you know, having grown up in a house where my dad speaks once, and then if that's for some reason that one time I chose not to heed or listen or whatever, then there would be repercussions, and there were. And I think I'll turn out for the better. I'm just seeing you now. But, you know, often in our relationship with God, we don't do that. We kind of fear, oh, maybe God's not serious, or maybe I can just ignore Him for a little bit. I'm just going to carry on with what I'm doing and what I'm comfortable with. But that whole blessing of hearing and obeying is what we're after. We want to hear what God is saying, and we want to obey. We want to take hold of it. And as we've seen in the Old Testament with the nation of Israel, this often happened, and mostly when the Lord is wanting to take the nation into a new season, or a new, in this case, that we've, the scriptures we looked at, the promised land. So it's exciting at the same time, because God is preparing us for something. He's saying, listen, stop and listen and hear what I have to say and sort this out, because I'm taking you somewhere. And I want to encourage you to pray expectantly with us, to seek His face, to hear from Him, and to make sure we are prepared for where He's taking us. And when we're looking at our core values, I don't know if I've got them on there. I think I didn't put them on there. But, you know, passion for Jesus, people to serve, power of belief, purpose to pursue. Those are the things that kind of shape who we are. And it's all of them are expressions on a way of living out the Great Commission, and what God is basically the big instruction He's given us, the big mission He's given us. And that's basically why we're standing still at this, to make sure we kind of knit together as a family, we kind of understand what family is all about, and we take hold of this purpose that God has for us, and we can grow in it together. So if you haven't joined us on a Wednesday, you're missing out. And we're going to be in Wimbledon. We're at the lounge on Wednesday evenings. We're having the most amazing food. Those that are giggling don't like hot dogs. But I love hot dogs. So you must really join us and bring your 50p. it's not it's really a bargain, I think. No, but so please join us and enjoy. We really enjoy the time together. This evening, we are specifically looking at how far should we go for the family, because we're looking at family, we're looking at passion for Jesus, and then, you know, often you hear people saying, I'm an all or nothing type of person. I'm like all in or not at all, or, you know, I do something and I do it all the way. And it seems to me like Jesus was like that. If you look at Scripture, if you want to read with me from Luke chapter 11, verse 23 says, "Whoever is not with me is against me." And immediately, there's, you know, if you're living in a society like we do, where it's really the in thing is to be politically correct and to be tolerant, then this is not a very popular statement, because there's no gray area, there's no in-between, there's no, I don't want to make a decision, there's just one or the other, there's no... And often we see that in Scripture, we see hot or cold, we see sheep or goats, you know, light or darkness, death or life, there's these very extreme contrasts, and often choices we are given. And it's something that challenges us, and, you know, already people want to say, why is it, this sounds harsh, but it's amazing, because that's, I believe, how God operates. It's either the one or the other. The other day we looked at the Scripture where the Lord told the Israelites, I've placed before you life and death, and then he gives them a tip, he says, choose life. You know, you kind of go for that one type of thing, and often it's like that. It's very extreme, and then, but it's clear, you know, what God wants us to do. There's no, you know, and like I said, in society, there's so many gray areas, so many things that are either, maybe, you know, no, it's a little bit of that and a little bit of this. But Jesus said, you're either for me or you're not. You're against me. And what's also cool here is that it's very clear that God gives us a choice. There's wherever we are, in relationship with him, he's given us free will. And that's basically, I suppose, that's the most incredible thing, to think that the King of the universe wants to have a relationship with you and I. He loves us in a way that we battle to understand or fathom, but he gives us a choice whether we would like to respond to that or not. And again, if I had to give you a tip, go for the receive it option. If we look at Revelation chapter 3, it goes a bit further, verse 15 to 16. This is where the words come for specific congregations. They get named and everything, but they also refer to us here now and in the end times. And this specific one, the word is, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. And again, it's like, whoa, that's terrible. You know, why it sounds so harsh? And what happened to the grace message, you know, we've been talking about? And again, it's this very clear, hot or cold. There's nothing in between. And I think we need to expound on this a little bit. You know, if you start saying, you know, reading scriptures like these, people want to run for the door and get offended and that type of thing. But if you look carefully, what it actually, God's being very gracious. You know, let's take an example like, when you fall in love, or you want to get engaged or get married. We had this joke when we were in the season where all our friends were getting engaged and getting married, and we were still living in Stellenbosch. I could observe, it was a very interesting thing to observe, the young men, whether they were still studying, the guys that got engaged while studying were men of real faith, okay? But then you got the guy, you know, who's just started working, earning a small salary. And then you could see suddenly when the relationship, you know, you're kind of observing, okay, the relationship is going somewhere. People are wondering when are they going to get engaged. Excuse me, I didn't even know where to cough for this thing. And then you suddenly see, but this guy is losing weight. And he's like, you know, you're thinking, yeah, what's happening? And when maybe before he invited you over for supper, no, it doesn't happen. And when you do go around his house by accident, or do you realize this man is living on bread and water? He's not spending any money on anything. He's not eating properly. He's fasting 3 days a week or four. You know, he's maybe eating every second day because he's saving. Saving up big time because he's wanting to buy a rock. Okay? The rock of ages. the one that goes on the finger, you know. And it's the funniest thing. You know, you can see guys cutting what, you know, the priorities getting straight because there's only one thing. That you can only get the best. You know, whatever you need to do. In my case, I'd saved up and I was working and I really didn't earn much. But I'd also saved up because I wasn't on the POYE system, so I'd saved up every month for tax, and like a good citizen. And then, but then I ended up taking that as well, spending that as well on the ring. You know, everything I got, all my savings, everything else, and then all the tax money as well. And then I had to pay later. You know, you can never escape the tax man. But in any case, don't worry, I did pay my tax. But, you know, we did whatever we needed to do because only the best was good enough for the one you love. Only there's a passion. You go to extreme lengths to get this most amazing thing. And it's amazing. That's basically the principle that we see here, is that when you're in a relationship with God, there's no half measure. There's no, maybe not. It's everything. I want to give God everything, our best. You know, there's no, that's why the lukewarm thing doesn't sit well with God. Because if it's a love relationship, then surely it's either, I'm completely against Him, or I'm completely in love with God, and I'm completely 100% for Him. So see this great exchange. And the interesting thing we see is, He says there, I know your works. And again, you think, but we're not saved by works, you know, we're saved by grace. But the amazing thing is, part of our response to grace is obedience. And I believe one of the greatest ways of worshiping God, the greatest worship to God is our obedience, is I believe. And it's not any obedience, it's passionate, wholehearted, everything I got, obedience. Yeah, I remember this account in the Old Testament. I didn't have time to go and read it up, I just thought of it before. So I can't give you the scripture, but if you really want to know, email me. But the prophet that speaks to the king, he's on his deathbed, he's dying, and the nation is in trouble, there's like big armies coming up against them. And the prophet says, the word of the Lord for the king, he says, listen, take these arrows, and strike the ground as a prophetic act. And I can just imagine the king. You know, when you're doing something and you're not really, you think, what is this about? You know, why am I doing this? You feel a bit embarrassed. What are people thinking? And I can just imagine he kind of took the arrows and like, okay, whatever, you know. Strike the ground. Why am I doing this? People are looking at me funny, type of thing. And he struck the ground 3 times. And the prophet got very upset. He says, listen, because you only struck 3 times, you will be victorious over the enemies 3 times. And after that, they will basically, I don't know what the words he used, but basically after that, they will annihilate you. You know, so it's kind of, You know, so I'm thinking in that, if we have to learn from that scenario, take those arrows and hit the ground as hard as you can until they break or it tells you to stop. You understand? Kind of, if this is what God is saying, telling me to do, He didn't say how many times, so I will strike until there's nothing left of the arrows, or until, you know, and that kind of all I got, everything, Lord, this is Your word, I'm giving it everything I got. That's a kind of passion for Jesus that we're looking at. Passionate obedience, all or nothing. And again, like I said, in this society we're living in, this is not popular, this is not the end thing. You know, even if we look in terms of falling in love with someone, even if you look in history and in fairy tales and stories and things that stories inspire people, there's always this guy that, you know, normally this guy on a horse, and he will slay any dragon and do what he needs to do and climb any mountain to get to this girl he loves, you know. And again, there's this aspect of what is our love for God, or in response to His loving us first, how far are we willing to go with that? How far will this passion take us? That's the question tonight. Are you with me? Good, good. And Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Passion for Jesus, how far will you go? 12, verse 1. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you." This is one of I love this story, and I love this account of God speaking to Abram. And this is kind of almost where God and Abram's relationship, it kind of takes shape, and it goes into some direction. And after that, you know, the covenants, etc. But I love this because it's such a powerful example of this passionate obedience. You see, Abram, okay, he hadn't had children yet. He was married. He was a wealthy guy. Okay, he had a big household. It's when he speaks here, it speaks of his household and servants and a lot of cattle. And those days, your assets were like livestock. And so he was basically telling him, listen, pack up your stuff and move. But the first thing I would ask in a situation like this, but there's something missing. There's something, what's missing in this instruction? Yeah, the destination. Because I want to put it in my GPS, you know, I want to know where we're going, I want to at least kind of plan ahead, kind of get an idea what I need to plan for, take along. If I know I'm going to go along that route, then I need to plan and make provision for that. You understand? That's how we operate. But God doesn't necessarily operate like that. He just says, listen, off you go, and I'll show you. It's not, you know, and the amazing thing is Abram does it. He packs up his things, and off they go. He moves from everything he knows. He moves from his culture, from his father's, you know, what he knew, the way he grew up, his comfort zone, the place where he was famous, and everybody knew him, where he was a wealthy man. He moves from that into the unknown with an open-ended, don't know where it's going to end type of thing. And if you look at, if you follow the route that God took Abram, it was crazy, you know, it was all over the Middle East. And it's actually, if you're thinking that they didn't have serious transport like we have these days, it's quite a mission, you know, and they just kept on trekking. And if you look at how the Lord provided, it's amazing. It's astonishing because, like I would have done, Abram couldn't plan ahead and say, listen, okay, this stretch, or most of the stretches we're going to go, it's desert. So we need to take extra water or make a plan. Wherever they went, the Lord basically said, wherever you dig, there will be water. So they kind of just followed God, followed His command, went with him, and wherever they dug, wherever they got, whether it was like complete desert, there was provision, there was water there. Passionate obedience to what God was calling them to. I'm just throwing that out there again. God required of them to move, to get out of anything they knew, everything they were comfortable with, everything that was kind of, I'm happy with this, or I know how this works. Okay. Maybe the Lord, does He still require that kind of thing from us these days? Okay, we'll get to that. Another amazing thing is, God doesn't just send us away somewhere on a random mission. He's with us. And we could see that so powerfully in Abram's case. You know, everywhere they went, there was provision. In the New Testament, we see Jesus calling His disciples. And again, He doesn't tell them where they're going. He just says, listen, follow Me. It says something about fishers of men, which I don't really understand. But He just says, listen. It doesn't even say a big speech. It says, follow Me, and off He goes. And what they didn't know is that He was leading them to, basically, at the end, martyrdom. So I don't know, maybe they would have reconsidered if they knew that. But it's incredible to, again, He just throws it out there. He said, listen, this is it. Follow Me, Your choice. And off He goes. But the thing is, they could follow Him. It wasn't a random, there you go, send you out something. It was, He was with them and He was leading them and they could follow Him. They could follow in His footsteps. Often, specifically these days, we could ask as well, instead of asking how far would you go, we could ask, where's your treasure? Scripture says, where your treasure is, here your heart will be also. In other words, what is that thing that you value the most? What is of greatest importance? What is the thing that you value most? What is that thing that you would get, you know, like the guy wanting to buy an engagement ring, cut away everything else until, you know, you're focusing on this thing. And like the story of the pearl of great price, you search all your life and then this man finds this pearl of great price and then he sells everything he has and he spends all his whole fortune to buy this one pearl of great price. Where is your treasure? What is the thing that you value most? Is it a career? Is it a dream of some corporation or business or position or status or comfort or security? What is that thing that is so important that we're willing to sacrifice everything else? And if you think about this whole scenario of Abram and God, and you know, if we have to bring it closer to home, what is it that keeps us from obeying God in that passionate way? Just out there, anybody? You thought you're gonna have me do all the talking? Okay, I would say mostly fears. Okay, you win. Often, if you think, okay, say now the Lord says to me and Anna tomorrow, we must go to Afghanistan and plant a church there. What is it that would have us think twice? Okay, I didn't really expect to see my first child come into the into the world in a war zone. No, didn't see that one coming. Maybe concerned about language, culture, schooling, safety, health, food. I'm just throwing random stuff out there, but that's a reality, you know. If the Lord would call us somewhere to go into a place we don't know, out of our comfort zone, and to the ends of the earth, there are things that come up in our hearts. Okay, obviously, you guys don't have that problem. But the real things we struggle with, the real concerns we have, the real things that we fear. And we're not going to go into this in depth, but I believe that when we allow the love of God to get rid of all those fears in our hearts, to drive out those fears, you know, we are set free, we are completely liberated to obey Him without fear. To know that, as He did with Abram and so many others, heroes of the faith, wherever He takes us, He will provide. You know, they have these catchphrases. Gotta love the Christianese. You know, where God guides, He provides. where he leads, he feeds. These are funny, but they're cool because they remind you of the truth, because this is the truth. And it's something that we, I believe, should really seek, is that liberation of any fear, so that we are free to obey him without anything standing in the way. Read with me from Jeremiah 29. Verse 4, and then 10 and 11. Bit of background, the nation of Israel is in captivity in Babylon. Okay, let's just read from verse 4. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Okay, so you see that God has carried them into exile. Now, just pause there. What happened here is the Israelites didn't grow up like I did. They didn't hear that thing of dad speaks once. They didn't really get that. So the Lord spoke, and the Lord sent another prophet, and then another one, and I don't know how many, and they just kind of didn't really focus. And then after a while, the Lord had to say, okay, now we need to get your attention. So he sent them off to Babylon, into captivity, to kind of to make sure that the message comes through. Okay, let's read from verse 10. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. As Franz said this morning, that is definitely in the top 10 most famous verses, most quoted verses. I'm sure you've got it in the card somewhere. But we see this incredible, that, you know, even in this place of where they've come from a place of complete rebellion against God and disobedience, and God had literally had to say, listen, okay, we need to get you out, away into slavery, into captivity, to get your attention, to get you focused again. Even from that place, we see the grace of God operating so powerfully. We see him saying, this is my grace at work here. This is not punishment. This is me making sure that you don't go off on a tangent. This is me reaching out to you in love and in grace to make sure that you hear what I'm saying to you. Make sure that you come back to me. And often we miss that. You know, things happen and we're thinking, oh, Lord has departed. He's left me. This is it. I'm alone. But this is the grace of God as he's reaching out to them. And often, you know, we find ourselves in a place almost like captivity. Some of us, it is captivity. But it's not we're not necessarily there because of our disobedience. Some of us, yes, you find yourself in a place and you think, how did I get here? Suddenly things are going wrong and this isn't looking good and everything is not, things are pressing from every side and it's really like God is getting your attention. And it doesn't, but it's not always, it's not always just us having been disobedient. But in this case specifically, God was disciplining the nation, saying, and getting their attention so that they could return to him, turn away from the idols they were worshipping, return to him, so that he could bless them again, so that he could pour out his blessings. Like he says here, to fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. His grace, his promise, his blessing, and to prosper them. Let's read what comes in between these two verses to get kind of the bigger picture. Verse 5 to 7. This is now while they're in the captivity there. It says, build houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat their fruit. Take wives and beget sons and daughters. And take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive. And pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace you will have peace. And now, you know, this is such a challenge to us because even in that place where we feel this is like a captivity, I don't really want to be here. We see, but there's something that the Lord requires of us. It's not just I'm going to stick it out until the Lord delivers me from this place. We see that there's a purpose and there's a command to go all the way. Don't go half-hearted. Don't just survive. Live, settle, get in there, do everything 100%. And we don't want to hear this, but this gets close to home for many of us. A lot of us sitting here, or a lot of South Africans, not everybody's South African here, so I have respect for that, but many of us here, and many South Africans in the UK, are here because they're in a sort kind of captivity. Not often people come here because they're not like they want to live in a nation where it rains every day. Not because they love the place and the people, no offense. But because they kind of been forced by circumstance, and it's kind of an economic captivity. It's a kind of didn't work out for me that side, so I'm going to, I don't really have a choice. But we find that people are kind of marking the days, I'm going back, almost like these guys, because the prophecy said it kind of exactly when the captivity would end, which is a great thing to have in the back of your mind, 70 years, stick it out type of thing. And often we're like that, I'm just going to make it, I've got my target date. Ron said this morning, I just laughed, like the guy in the prison just marking off the days and the months and the years, we're working off his time. Challenge for us is that wherever God causes us to be, whatever way you got there, whether it is by our disobedience or whether it is by your choice or not, wherever you're at, there's a purpose. There's a kingdom of God that is being established. There's, I'm only passing through. I spoke to somebody this morning and he said he had to change schools in primary school. And his mom said to him, listen, you can go there, but if you don't like it, you can come back anytime. You can go back to your old school. And he says, oh, cool. So he kind of went to the school, and when the teacher wanted to expect him to do work, he says, no, I'm just here for a while. So he didn't take any books. Little boy, man, he was young. And he didn't take any books, He says, no. Whenever he was expected to participate, he said, no, I won't be here long. I'm just here for a bit, and then I'm going back to my old school. And I had a laugh because that's often how we are at. I'm not going to get involved. I'm not going to settle really because I'm not here for very long. But what does God say to these guys? He says, "Go all the way. Seek," and then takes it a step further. He says, "Seek the peace of that city. Pray, intercede." This in their case is terrible. Hidden nation that the Lord has taken them to. Now they need to pray for them. They have to seek the peace of the city. So there's a purpose. There's a kingdom coming. There's something greater than that they were thinking about. Not just, it's only so many years, then we can go back. No, it's that when we are seeking the peace of the city, then we will find peace. When we are embracing the kingdom of God, being coming in and through our lives, wherever we find ourselves, then we will find fulfillment, and we will flourish, and we will experience the blessings of God in an incredible way. I had to wrestle through this, and if there are the things that I've wrestled with God the most about, two of them is, one is life purpose, and the other is marriage partner. Maybe trivial things to you, but for me, these are the things that took many hours and tears and all kinds of things. And many of you know my story of where I was going and what I was wanting to do. But we often come to this question: okay, I know God, a relationship with Him, but where is it all going? What is the plan? Am I, where is He taking me? Where am I going? What is the end destination? And I was wrestling with this. I had a plan, and I have to cut this short because it's a long story. So, I had a relationship with God, and I knew all about following God and loving Him, and not all about it, but I kind of had a bit of an idea. But I never really understood purpose. And then I got to Stellenbosch by the grace of God, and I visited one or two churches. I visited Shofar once, and it was very boring, and I slept through most of this service. It was a visiting speaker. I thought it was a visiting speaker. The black guy spoke for hours and hours, and I fell asleep. Okay, partly this is our senior pastor Fred, who I thought was the visiting speaker, but it was not his fault. I didn't really sleep, since that's what you not do when you first enter residence. You don't sleep. So I slept in church, and then I visited another church because this other one was very boring. So I went, and there it's great because all the girls were there, you know, all the Christian girls. So that was really good stuff. And then I was invited again back to Shofar, and the moment I walked in the door, the Holy Spirit said, "This is your house. This is where you need to be." Any case, it wasn't audible or anything. I just felt at home. Long story short, for the first time I was faced with the fact that life is not about me. It's not about my plan and where I'm going to go, and I'm going to be a test pilot, and I was already on my way there, studying engineering in the Air Force and everything. It's not about that. Life is about the King of Kings. It's about serving His purpose. It's about living every day 100% towards making Him famous. And for the first time I was faced with that God had created me with a specific purpose in mind, with a plan. But now I face the struggle of, what is that plan? And I was kind of, at first I was, oh, this is interesting, this is cool, you know, there's a plan, and, you know, God loves me, and there's like details and stuff, I like details. And but then I got to a place where I believe all of us need to get to. It's a place of desperation. I said, this is it. I'm not going anywhere. I want to go further unless I am completely convinced that I'm in the will of God. I kid you not, I was desperate. I was crying. I was on my face before God after every service, just crying. Just weeping, saying, "Lord, I'm finished. I don't want to. I mean, I wanted to know. I wanted to have that place of peace." And I remember saying to God, "Lord, even if I have this big career in my mind, you know, engineer, pilot, test pilot, it's like amazing stuff." And I said, "Lord, if you want me to go and sweep streets in Timbuktu, that's fine. I will go there, and I will do that. I just want to know your will for my life." And I didn't say that lightly. I went to look on the map. Where's this Timbuktu place? There's a place like that. But that's where I was at. I wasn't joking with God. I was very serious. I said, "Lord, whatever you require of me, that's where I want to be." And by the grace of God, I have to keep trying to make this short. But this is very much part of the message. Okay, I went on a cycling tour at the end of that year where we cycle around South Africa and we pray for the nation. And I was thinking, this is like the man thing to do. You cycle 5,000 kilometers. How many people can say that? And I was more interested in that part. And then the Lord sorted me out very quickly at the beginning of the tour. In any case, so I got focused. And for the first time, I experienced that the purpose of God is always connected with the body. They don't go apart. There's no lone rangers in the body. That I for the first time I experienced a group of people in unity pursuing the purpose of God in a bit of a radical way, kind of doing this stupid thing, cycling for 6 weeks, 5,000 kilometers. You know, it's kind of, the sports scientists said it couldn't be done. Every day, cycling day after day after day, a few rest days in between. And for the first time I realized, okay, in this crazy environment of these people all in unity, pursuing the purpose of God, in this bit of in a way that doesn't make sense, okay, in the worldly way, no worldly sense, but experiencing the miraculous presence and provision of God like I've never experienced it before. And I realized those things go together. The body, the purpose of God, and His presence and His miraculous provision. And I tell you, it changed my life. I really experienced the presence of God like there for the first time in that way. I can tell you many stories, miracles that the Lord did on the way. Healings, obviously, a lot of those. You know, miracles of taking us through fires and smoke and things. And weather miracles, presence of God through electric storms, you know. Or lightning hitting the pole next to you in the road. Just incredible miracles and provision. The tricky thing was that after that, you can never go back. You can never go back to a place of, I'll just do my own thing. Because after that, I had to be in that place of peace. I couldn't live out of it. I couldn't just do my own thing and kind of drift anymore. I had to know this is what God wants me to do. And I tell you this, that's the best place. Erna and I, the other day we were in Switzerland. You know, we go to Europe like that because we're trusting God to plant a church in Europe. So obviously when you're there, you talk about this. So we were talking and I'm saying, can we move? You know, what would it entail? What are the realities, like I said just now? And I said to Erna the other day, I said, listen, if we had to go to Afghanistan, I used that example. And I said, this is not what I thought. I didn't think we would go there. I didn't think this is not my ideal place, like to have our first child, etc. But I said to her that my conviction that if the Lord were to call us to that place, my conviction is that that would be the best place for us. There would be no better place. There will be no safer place. There will be no place with more provision. There will be no place with more peace. There will be no place on earth that will be more blessed or more with more provision or more blessings or more. You know, that is the only place. You understand what I'm saying? And in any case, my life changed right there. Lost a bit of track, but we're still on the message. So if you find yourself maybe in a bit of a captivity situation, just know that wherever you find yourself, whether God carried you there, like the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted, those two don't seem to go together, but they do. However you got here, however you got into the job that you're at, or in the family that you're in, or the relationship, or the marriage, know that where you are, God's kingdom is being established. And He has a purpose and a plan for you. And if you... Okay, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. You know, maybe God is going to require us to make changes. Maybe there is something has been bugging you about your work, about your career, like it was bugging me until I got to the place of desperation. And you know what? What I've experienced is it's not comfortable. That first time cycling around the country, I can guarantee you it was not comfortable. After the first 50Ks every day, the end of myself. And then it's just grace. It's just, you have to plug into the power of God. You know, it's the same. You know, whether we're here, whether we at a workplace where we don't understand what God is doing, it's not comfortable. There are people that that are not nice always. There's a lot of things that come against us, but know if you have that place of peace where you know I must be here. God has put me here. God has put me, you know, I have to sweep streets in Timbuktu or I have to work at this bank in London. Then you know that that is the best place. And that God's provision is there for you. And His peace is there for you. And His power is there for you. And His whatever you need is right there. Let's carry on. Where are you planted now? Passion for Jesus. Where are you planted? John 15 verse 5. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I love it when Jesus speaks like this. It's very clear. Apart from me, you can do nothing. There's no two ways about this thing. There's no negotiating. There's no, you know, wondering about it. Apart from him, we can do nothing. It's just, again, the powerful example. God is the gardener. He plants us somewhere. He places us somewhere. And if we abide in Him, if we, in this specific picture of the vine and us being the branches, if we get stuck in, plugged in the vine, that's the provision. That's the source. That's where everything we need comes from. And that's the place of peace that I was talking about. And the challenge here is that, as in with a gardener, garden situation, the tree doesn't decide where's the best spot. Okay, do you agree? It's the gardener. No, you're not convinced. Okay. The gardener knows. He knows where this tree needs to be. Sometimes my dad's got what they call green fingers. Amazing. I don't think I've inherited that. But he grows things from a little seed. He like gathers seed when he goes on holiday. I don't know. People take photos of my dad gathering seeds. You know. And then he's always got this bag full of seeds in the car. And when he arrives back, oh, little plants as well. He just takes them. In a case, I don't think it's legal in this country. But in South Africa, you can still get away with it. And then he comes home and then he plants all this stuff. And I'm thinking, what's he on about? But then now if we go back, then there's this tree. I said, where does that come from? No, he got it, this tree, when they're on holiday there. You know, I was like, but he knows. He knows at the beginning, this one specifically must be in the shade at the beginning. And then, it, you know, it's got this little bag to plant in the little, you know, I don't know what to call it. But then it must be in a certain environment, and then it mustn't be too cold. And then it must be, later on, it's in full sun, you know, he knows all that stuff. And the gardener knows. Don't argue with the gardener. I don't argue with my dad because he knows. Same. People often, we get into presumption, we argue with God. No, but Lord, this place, this is the business. I want to be in this job. And sometimes we bug God so much, he says, okay, well, go for it then. And then we're there and then it's miserable. Ah, this is terrible, Lord, this boss. And then the Lord says, you know, don't argue with the gardener. He knows. He knows where you need to be. Even if it's the time for pruning. And it hurts. God knows. We need to trust Him. It's the same with church. Has anybody heard of church hopping? Church shopping? I've heard these terms. In my job, you get the most amazing concepts coming your way. No, we're shopping around. What does that mean? How do you shop for church? I mean, you don't laugh. You've heard it. You've done this as well. I've done it. That's what we say. You know, you can move to a new place and you church shopping. You know, church shopping. Having a look around. What's available? Window shop. What kind of programs? What is the? Do they have a coffee shop? Do they have a bookshop? People, you know, maybe this is a word for somebody. If the Lord moves you to a city, did you hear what I said? When the Lord moves you to a city, it's not I decide to move to a city, the Lord will move you to a city, then He will also tell you which family is your family there. And He will give you a house and a home. You don't have to shop, just pray. Obviously, what I'm saying, don't go to any church. I'm saying you will have to maybe visit some churches, but know that God will tell you where to be. Not this is most comfortable, or this is the best preacher, or the worst, or this nice children's church, or whatever. We go, God decides. Does that make sense? Hallelujah. Okay. So David gave us an incredible example of stuff that I don't understand very well, so I'm going to just try my best. Okay, it's like the liver, okay, sitting here at the bottom somewhere. And there's a liver cell. Imagine a liver cell deciding, no, this is it. I don't want to be a liver cell anymore. The lung is the business. I want to be a lung cell. Or maybe the heart. The heart sounds more important. I'm going to make my way up here to the heart area, and I'm going to be a heart cell now. You know, pumping, doing the thing, doing what the heart cells do, you know. It's not going to work, guys. If Jesus is the head of the body, surely he will decide where the foot must be, and the finger, and the hand, and every member. Guys, please don't try and decide that for yourself. Please ask Jesus, where must I be? What's my part? What's my role? Don't compare. If you're a finger, don't compare yourself to the thigh, please. One of you is going to get embarrassed or is going to get intimidated, okay? Either the one will want to lose weight or the other one thinks, you know, in any case. But we often do that. We compare ourselves with our brothers and sisters in Christ and thinking, that guy's got that gift and maybe I should pray for that. No, the Lord has got a place for you in the body. And he's got a home and a family for you in the bigger body of Christ. And that is something you can wrestle with God about. Lord, I will not move until you tell me to move. Even if in this job I hate so much, or I really struggle with, really challenges me, I will not move until you tell me. Often you hear people saying, no, this, I'm not getting along with my boss or my colleagues. There's no Christians at my workplace. I'm saying, isn't that the best place? I work with Christians all day. It's terribly boring. You know, I really envy you guys. You know, there's just Christians at my office. But now we have the lounge. Yeah. And there's like strangers coming in from the street. It's amazing. But even that place where you have so many challenges, you know, and then people say, no, this can't be from God. There's no Christians here. And my boss is terrible. And I'm thinking, that sounds exactly like God to me. You know, that is God working in your life. Embrace it. In any case, I have to carry on. Sometimes the grass seems better there. It looks like it's better to be in the worship team than serving and packing out chairs. It's not the truth, okay? Okay, we're not going to go into that. We're going to speak later on about serving. But it's just about the gardener will move you around. God will, your function and body will change sometimes. But no, that's nothing to do with how important you are, how much God loves you. That stays the same. But we need to hear from him about it. We need to take hold of what he says and obey passionately. And that place, again, when you find that place of peace, that place where, because I'm in this place, I didn't want to be there. But because I'm now in this place where God has said I must be, maybe as a liver cell or whatever, suddenly things are working out. There's provision, I've got peace, I'm enjoying what I'm doing because I've changed my attitude. Now I'm doing it for God, I'm not doing it for the rest of the liver cells anymore. I'm not trying to compare myself to the other guys. I'm doing this because I love God. And I know he's put me here. And while I'm here, I'm going to give it everything I've got. And suddenly, I'm enjoying it. Suddenly, it's fun packing out chairs. Suddenly, it's great serving people. And it's because I'm loving people, but I'm doing it for God. I've got another motive in the back of my head because I love him so much. I want to give him everything I got. Again, it's, and because of that whole dynamic, that our obedience and that blessing becomes a blessing to the whole body. Suddenly people will think, yeah, I want to pack chairs. I want to be part of that, because, you know, that's not the point. But it's just, it becomes a blessing and you thrive and you prosper and you grow. And that's one thing I've seen. When you're in the place where God wants you to be, like where the garden has put you, that's where that tree is going to grow. That's where that tree is going to flourish and it's going to bear the most fruit. We often like, oh, I must, the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, and we're so like about all the gifts and the things, we don't hear about, we don't focus on the giver, we don't listen to him, and we end up bearing no fruit. But if we just say, Lord, okay, where must I be planted? And then in there, getting the right nourishment, feeding off the vine, plugged into the source, that's where the real fruit comes. That's where we grow, that's where we flourish. Okay, finally, where do we go from here? Now, this is maybe the question tonight. How will I respond if I do get a call? Excuse me, a few years ago we had this joke in Shofar Leadership that when you get the call in the middle of the night, or the SMS, because what normally happens is Pastor Fred will be praying during deep into the night, and then he will just get the word from the Lord, and then he will just SMS. we joke about it because we don't do it like that anymore, but we always joked about, did you get the SMS in the middle of the night? And once for me it was to go to Johannesburg to plant a church, and then it was to come to Europe, etc. But in any case, what if you get the SMS from God in the middle of the night saying, North London, Europe, Afghanistan, Weybridge, you know, whatever. Or maybe it's to do with career. Maybe it's not, you know, it's time to make a change. Are we willing to even consider that? Where we just run and kind of ignore it, you know, just delete, quick, delete the SMS. That's, I think, what God is, yeah, is part of the challenge tonight, is that we prepare our hearts so that when the Lord speaks, there's no fear. You know, answer those questions for yourself. I had to do that. When God spoke to me about ministry, I had to come to a place where I had to count the cost. I said, okay, Lord, this might mean that I might have to move places. And when I got into a relationship with Adam, I was open about it. I said, listen, there's some fine print I have to share with you before we get married. You know, this is a real reality. Because I've said a lot of stuff to God. I had to tell her. I said to God, I will go anywhere where he wants me to go. So I had to be really open with her. Say, listen, if God calls us wherever, then, you know, we'll have to go. So that's our challenge tonight. How far are we willing to go for the family? Because remember, the purpose and the body, they go together. And the provision and the blessing, they happen there. And I want to encourage you, prepare your heart. And what I had to do then, I had to say, okay, what do I need to do? I'm not there yet. Can't go now. But what do I need to do to get to a place where I can go? Okay, I won't go into detail, but it's practical things. Okay, I want to equip myself. I want to have the word in me. You know, I want to be ready. When God presses my button, I want to go. And then again, it's not, maybe you won't have pastor behind your name or something. I hope you don't, because then you get to work with Christians. But just that mindset of, yes, I'm an accountant, or I'm an engineer, or I'm a mom, that I will go wherever God sends me. Wherever he requires me to go, I will go there. Because I know that's the best place. There's no better place. There's no safer place. There's no place greener grass. And so my challenge to us and my encouragement to us is to count the cost and to think about those things and to be honest with God about them. Lord, I'm not there yet. Change my heart. Soften my heart. Help me to prepare myself. But I tell you, since I've made that decision, when I got desperate about the purpose of God, I was a fairly average type of guy, having seen much of the world. And in the next few years, since being honest with God, saying, Lord, I will go wherever you want me to go, I'd seen more continents and countries and traveled more and seen more places. And that's not the big thing, but seeing God work in those places, seeing miracles and incredible things that I would have never dreamt of, than all of my peers at that stage put together, the people that I grew up with, just because I said, yes, God. Obviously, that's not what it's about. If the Lord called me to just go to one place and stick it out there, then that would have been the greatest blessing. You understand? It's not about going all over the place. It's about finding that place of peace and finding that place of provision. And you know this is where God wants me to be. And you know, when you're in that place, the tough times can come. That's what I used to encourage guys when we went to go on missions or pray, should I go to India on this mission trip? And people come to me, I don't know if I should go, you know. And I said, just make sure, you know, God has said we must go, but trust God for something to hold on to. Because when you're there and it's not nice and it smells and your stomach is upset and the demons are sitting on your chest and you can't breathe, then I'm giving extreme examples now, but when the tough times come, it's like in a marriage. When the tough times come, you can't think, did I make a mistake? No, it's not, because you know. So when the tough times come, can you hear me? When they do come, that's when we have to have that confidence and that knowing, this is where I must be, this is my place of peace, I know. And you know, the scary thing is when you have a wife and a family, it gets a bit more complicated. I have respect for that. Listen, ask the Isser. If God sends you the SMS in the middle of the night and says, you and your four kids, it's time to move continents. Yeah, what a blessing to be ready to say, yes, we're going. What an exciting place. I love it. There's no better place. You know, I was ready to stay in Johannesburg for 30 years. Kingdom will come, you know. If we had to reach Joburg, we needed at least 12 reasonably sized congregations spread out over the city. You know, you had the plans, and this is the 30-year plan. And then, look this. God says, okay, let's go. And there we are. And now we're 100%. We planted. We're going for it, giving everything. This is our home. This is where we live. This is where we give everything. And we're getting up to speed with the football. You know, this is it, you know. But you know, you never know. Maybe 5 years down the line, but that's the only place I want to be. It's the only place. It's there where God says, my son, we need to move now. Because I know that's the will of God and that's his presence and that's his provision. I don't want to be anywhere else. Tonight there's three main things that we want to pray for. Firstly, where are you at in terms of passion for Jesus? Is it maybe now and again, or sometimes when I want to, I just ignore God and do my own thing. And it's a bit of that, and it's a bit of this, it's a bit of lukewarm here and there. Kind of making up my mind. Please know that God has got more patience with you than I do, which is good news. But the word is today, are you for me or are you against me? Is he number one? Is he the King of Kings and Lord of all in your life? Just before, I just felt that, and I never do this, but I just felt God saying, listen, don't play games with me. There's some people here that God has called you. He's pressed your button. He says, my son, you must come now. My daughter, I'm calling you. And you're playing games with God. saying, no, I'll do it tomorrow. I'm holding on to this lifestyle. I'm holding on to this and this. And I, like I said, I've never done this before, but I really strongly feel God is saying, don't play games. I love you, and I've made provision for you, but you need to come. Some of us that God is going to call us out of your what you know and out of what's comfortable and out of your culture and your what's comfortable language-wise. And some of you, maybe the Lord has already spoken to you. And you've maybe avoided it a bit. No, it can't be. I just want to say, just open your heart to what God is saying. And if you need to, if you're in that place like I was, where I had to prepare myself, I had to read all the fine print and make sure that, you know, we got everything straight, then you, please prepare yourself. And then finally, where you are now, some of us need to make changes in the way we operate in the place that God has put us. Am I just saying, no teacher, I'm not going to be here very long. I'm just passing through, like that guy I spoke to. Do I understand now? This is where God has put me now. There's a purpose here. There's a kingdom coming. There's souls that are being saved. They all need to be saved. There's people that need to be served. There's whatever God requires of me in this situation. Whether it be, I'm here for 2 weeks on a secondment or whatever they call it, or whether I'm here for 20 years, I know I'm not here by accident. I'm implanted here. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that